Good. Amen. Good afternoon and good morning to everyone who's gathered together with me today. I am so glad to have you listening and sharing with me and praying and supporting this particular piece of study that we gather together in fellowship around God's Word so that we can get God's Word in us so that we can grow together and become better as a people, better as God's people, and better able to communicate the love of God to a hurting and dying world through our witness of lifestyle, our lifestyle witness. Today, our Bible study is on what the Bible says about Christian character traits, and we are in part four of this series as we go back and forth, trying not to get bogged down with these character traits, because we have so many of them that should be visible in the life of a Christian and traits that we should attain for so that we can strive to get to be that person that God would have us to be so that people might see Jesus in us through our lifestyle, through the way we handle things, through the way we react to things. And so today we are on part four of that series. Now, I'm really excited about today, but I'm really excited about next week and the following weeks, because next week we are going to study what God says to the churches in Asia Minor. Now, a lot of people feel like those churches are representative of different ages of time. Some folks consider that in every church there are people that are in each of these churches of Asia. In other words, you know, there's characteristics that are common to different people in every church, every fellowship, every group of Christians. And so we're going to take a look at that. We're going to get down and study that and see what God says about the churches in Asia. Then we're going to come back and get some more Christian character traits. And then we're trying to see where God would have us to go from there. We try to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God so that we are led by that Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And God knows what's going on before we see it going on, so he can prepare us for it through his word. I'm thinking that it will either be the Ten Commandments, Old and New Testament, and, you know, just see where that rule is, see where that ruler takes us, see where that absolute is, and check ourselves on that. And that's where I'm leaning right now in my preparation and my study. So we're going to leave it at that and give you something to look forward to. Now, as I'm sure you have your Bible, your pen, your notepad, now I hope that you've been preparing your heart to hear the Word of God. So let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for one, your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made so that we can live. I thank you for your Spirit that guides us and teaches us and shows us truth, that gives us discernment. And I thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your son so that we can be in relationship with you. A relationship that you authored, that you desired, because you wanted to be in relationship with us. Lord, I'm humbled that you would want to be in relationship with me. Prepare my heart, prepare my mouth, prepare my mind to deliver a word from you to your people that is true, that is genuine, that has the integrity that you meant for your word to have. Let this not be about me, but let it be about your word and your relationship to your people. And Lord, when it's all said and done, I ask that you present us all changed, renewed, and revived from having spent time together in your word. For you have said, where two or more are gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst. And Lord, it's worth nothing if you're not here with us. So I ask that you go through these internet waves and you bring folks in, cause them to tune in to hear what you have to say in this moment to your people from your vessel in this moment. Lord, I thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. And we say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, I suppose you're here. I suppose you're ready. I sure hope you invited someone to join us, because we all need to hear a word from the Lord. And we all need to know that we've got brothers and sisters who are hungry and thirsting just with us, just like us, and want the fellowship, need the fellowship of the saints. And so let's remember to invite others each week so that we might, yes, grow in number, but grow in spirit and in truth. Because if we have a battle that we're in, that we're fighting, it is better when there's more of us. Because if two is good, three, a threefold cord is rarely broken. So let's gather the body together and let's invite people that may need to hear a good word from God, from his word. Somebody who may not have a local church that they can go to, invite them to come fellowship with us. A lot of people work and they can't go to their regular church on Sunday. So invite them to tune in with us. You tune in by phone. That phone number is 657-383. Let's see. Oh, I know that number. 0091. That's 657-383-0091. You can tune in with that number and just walk around, listen with your phone. Or, of course, you can follow the link that I give each week and tune in directly just by pressing that link, and it brings you right here on your computer or your pad, tablet, or even on your smartphone. So there's many ways to be with us, and we are going to start in James 4, James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. And here we go. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Our first characteristic that we're going to look at today is humility. Humility versus pride. Recognizing that it is actually God and others who are responsible for the achievements in my life. I got to have humility. And when I have humility, it's not all about me, 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 and what I've done and what I've studied and what I've accomplished. But it's what God is doing through me. It is what God is doing with my life. It is what God is showing me, and understanding and knowing that God often uses other people to shape us and to teach us and to help us through in these times. It's not about us. As Paul says, it's by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't want to be boastful and prideful, because we know that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty look before the fall. So we don't want to do that. We want to be in humility. We want to humble ourselves before the Lord. We want to humble ourselves before each other and not be so proud and pompous like we're all that, because we're not all that. But Christ in us, Christ through us, is all that. We have to remember that without him, we are nothing. The only reason we are something is because he thought enough of us to come and live in us. That makes us something, but it is him that makes us what we are. And so let's act with humility. Let's treat each other with humility. Let's not act like we know so much and others know so little. Let's not act like we're all that. Let's show a little humility. That's a virtue that it would be very good if we would abide by, if we would develop that in ourselves, in our daily walk. Now, like always with these verses, sometimes you have to write them down. You should always write them down so that you can go back and read them in the context that they were written. And make sure that I'm giving you good stuff. Make sure I'm giving you the word of God. Because my word's not going to do you a whole lot of good. But the word of God can refresh you and renew you and restore you. Give you guidance. Give you direction. Give you correction. And help you to be what God would have you to be help you live life to the fullness. Now let's go ahead and turn to Romans 12, verse 21. Romans 12, verse 21. And we are going to get this. Be not overcome of evil. Evil with good. That's a pretty good verse. Let's read that again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. People say that is the quintessential battle that's been going on from all time. Good over evil. But, you know, there is no battle, which to say it's not a fair fight. Because good will always overcome evil. Good will always overcome evil. The only time evil gets a chance to do what it does is when good does not stand up. So we are being encouraged here not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Advance upon the evil with good. Goodness, righteousness, peace in the Holy Ghost. So our character trait is going to be initiative versus unresponsiveness. So many times we are so beat down and overtrodden and just looks like, you know, the devil's not giving us a break. And we just, you know, we sit around sad sack wanting a break, needing a break, and we don't do this right here. Recognizing and doing what needs to be done before I am asked to do it. Taking initiative. Taking initiative. When you see evil, you have to take the initiative. Recognize, okay, there's evil trying to attack this way. I need to apply the goodness of God to this evil. I need to recognize what needs to be done. I need to do it without somebody asking. A lot of us are members or participate in different groups, different organizations, local churches, local organizations, local fellowships, local groups, and we're members. We have joined with them. We have said what your goals are, my goals are. What your values are, my values are. And we have joined together. We have accepted responsibility within that group. Well, when you do that, what you're saying is, when I see something that needs to be done, you don't have to ask me to take care of it. When I see something needs to be done and I have the wherewithal to get it done, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to wait until somebody asks me to help. I'm going to offer my help. I'm going to offer a hand. I'm going to offer assistance. I'm going to offer support. How many of us feel so good when we're going through something and somebody says, how can I help? That means so much to me when somebody says, I see you going through this. I see you struggling. I see you have a task at hand. That's a pretty big task. How can I help you? I see you trying to do a work for God. How can I help you? I would hope that everybody that takes part of my Bible study would be praying for me, because not because I asked, but because you know that if I'm doing a work for God, the enemy's going to try to attack. And you know that this thing needs to be bathed in prayer. That the Spirit of God covers. That the angels of God covers and protects. That the Spirit of God directs and guides us so that, you know, I bring the right word at the right time. See, the devil doesn't like it when the pure word of God goes forth, but he can't stop it. But he'll try to distract. He'll try to interfere with my studies. He'll try to interfere with your time so that you might not be able to listen live and then forget to listen by podcast. He's going to stir things up. So we've got to pray. And we got to pray over this thing. You got to pray for your neighbor. You got to pray for your brothers and sisters so that they can be fed. So don't wait till you're asked. Take initiative. A Christian person is not a lazy sit back and wait to be asked to do something. You have certain gifts. And sooner or later, we're going to do a study on spiritual gifts. And you've been blessed with certain gifts, and those gifts are for service so that when we gather as a group, things that need to get done, get done. When you join up, when you yoke up to somebody and you say, hey, I'm going to carry some of this load. You don't have to carry it all by yourself. Take initiative. It is such a blessing and such a joy to your brother, to your sister, when you come and shoulder up to them and you let them know, man, I got you. I got you. If you need it and I got it, you got it. You know, I don't know if you need this gift or not, but I've got this gift. And I want to share. I don't want to just sit down and receive and receive and receive. I want to work. I want to give. I want to share what's been given me to others. I want to be supportive. See, that's the Christian trait. Taking initiative. Seeing what needs to be done. And doing what you can, doing your part to get it done. That is the kind of thing that helps groups, organizations, families, ministries to go from one level to the next, is the people who are involved. Take an initiative to be a blessing. That's good. That's good. All right, turn with me to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16:11. This character trait is joyfulness versus self-pity. Oh, Lord. Joyfulness versus self-pity. Don't know how many times that I've been introduced to somebody, and a lot of times these people are like ministerial people. You know, they're part of the clergy. And you know, I hear a lot of self-pity, a lot of depression-like, a lot of downness. And I don't see joy. Sometimes you look and you see like hopelessness. And you're like, oh my, this brother needs help. This brother needs some anointing to flow on him. This brother's been going through. Now, joyfulness, the spontaneous enthusiasm of my spirit when my soul is in fellowship with the Lord. Man, people used to ask me all the time, dude, how come you're always smiling? How come you always seem so up? Man, when we go through, how come it seems like you don't get down? And I have to say, brother, I'm telling you, it's not that I don't get down, because I do get down. But when you understand where I am and where I could be and where I was, you'd understand why I smile and why there seems to be joy down deep in my soul, because I deserve death. I deserve hell. I deserve the grave. Because the wages of sin is death. And I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, like all men. For the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus gave his blood, his life. He was beaten. He was wounded for my transgressions. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I can't help but be joyful, but be glad and wear a smile on my face. Because as bad as I might have it, it could be worse. And if we were going on justice, if we were going on what I deserve so much worse than what I've got. See, I enjoy the grace and mercy of the Lord. He said, grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because of my relationship to him. Because I have submitted my will to his will, because I try to strive to walk with him. Now, I don't ask him to bless my mess. I ask him, can I walk with him? Because if I walk in his steps, then I know that my steps are righteous, because I'm walking in his steps and he is righteousness. And so with that, and with that obedience, and with that decision and commitment to serve him, comes joy. And I mean right now kind of joy, not the by and by kind of joy. Yes, I know that I have a reward coming. But saints, I have a reward right here, right now. Not everybody's walking with Jesus. Not everybody has the peace that I have, knowing that God is on the throne. Not everybody has the joy that only comes from knowing the Lord. We've got people that are so pessimistic. We've got people who are such sad sacks. We got people that exhibit such self-pity. Woe is me. Man, I don't have as much money as I used to have. Man, my wife left me. Man, my job is just so oppressive. Man, look what's happening in our government today. Man, it's just so bad. Well, I'm not here to tell you everything's all right. I'm here to tell you that God is on the throne. And because God is on the throne, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. It might look bad, and it might even get worse. But you know what? When we go through it, we're going to come out on the other end better than what we came to it. Because God is good, and he can't be nothing but good. And that is why we can be joyful, because we know that no matter what we go through, that he's going to make it better after a while. And when we know that, then we could suck it up, and we can accept the cross that we might have to bear, so that we can walk with God, so that we can do as God would have us to do. Amen? Good. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Some of this is tight, but it's right. You know, I'm going to share what the Bible tells you so that you can grow. Because somebody out there needs to hear these words today. And you take these words and you let the Spirit anoint them to your hearing, and they become the rhema word of God, as opposed to the logos word, and it'll make a difference. It'll be seed for fruit to come in your life. Now go ahead and turn to Micah. We don't often go to Micah. But let's turn to Micah 6 and 8. Micah 6 and 8. And it reads like this. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now see, that's the prophet Micah. Micah is delivered. Now, what's the characteristic that we're looking at? Versus fairness. Justice versus fairness. Now let's take personal responsibility to God's unchanging laws. You're going to take personal responsibility to God's unchanging laws. You see, saints, life is not fair. The kingdom of God is not fair. You don't want fairness, saints, because if it was fair, then what comes of that? What you deserve. And as much as you think you're all that, you're not all that. You need to apply some humility to your life and understand that left to your own, what you deserve is death, hell in the grave. But you do not want death, hell in the grave. You do not want to have to pay for your transgressions. But thank the Lord you don't have to, because Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe, you owe. We've been bought by a price. We need to submit to that knowledge and the understanding that we have been bought by a price. And so the justice involved here is the justice that we give to others, and to be equitable in our doings. It's not fair, but it is just. Somebody has to pay the price for the shortcomings. Somebody has already paid the price. So there's justice in the name of Jesus. You have a personal responsibility to God's unchanging laws. And see, that's why we're going to study those Ten Commandments, because these are the law that God gave us. And it helps us to live with one another and to do right by one another. And I'm not going to get into preaching and teaching on that right now, because we got a whole lesson on that coming. But understand, there's a difference between justice and fairness. And you don't want fair, because fair gives you what's coming to you. And you don't want what's coming to you, because when we think with sober mind, we know that we need the grace of God. We know that we need mercy. And so that's what we want to go for. That's what we want to give to each other. Because why would we beg for it and ask for it for ourselves, but not be willing to give it to a brother or to a sister? Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians 13 and 3. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3. Now, you Bible scholars, you already know when I say 1 Corinthians 13, you're starting to understand and know what's coming, what is coming. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Now, as you understand and as you know, where the King James uses the word charity, that is the same Greek word that is used for love. So then it would read more like, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. This characteristic is love versus selfishness. Love versus selfishness. Giving to others basic needs without having as my motive personal reward. Let's look at this verse a little closer. As I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, as I give all my stuff to feed the poor, I cook up my groceries, I spend my money, I pick it from my field, and I give it to feed the poor. And if I give my body to be burned, if I just give myself as a sacrifice, look, take me, let them live, take me. And if I don't have love, it does nothing for me. I don't gain anything at all from it. See, a lot of people, they give, you know, money, or they volunteer, or you know, they serve different organizations, different people, and they do it just so they can feel good, just so they can, you know, feel like they're better than the next guy. You know, or they do it out of out of fear that maybe if they don't, then they'll not be blessed. You know, their motives aren't right. They're not doing it out of love. They're not doing it out of caring. They're not doing it, you know, out of the kindness of their heart. They're not doing it for the sake of the kingdom. You know, they're just doing it like works mentality. Well, the Bible tells us, the Lord tells us, that's no good. You're just doing this to get something back for yourself. That's selfishness. There are studies that say there's no truly altruistic acts in the world. Because when we give, we receive. When we give and we get to see people, their enjoyment of receiving, we receive. We're blessed. We feel good about ourselves. They say if you're fighting and struggling with depression, go out and serve somebody and you start to feel better. Well, you do. That's just how it works. What you sow, you reap. If you sow into faithfulness, godliness, good character, joy, peace, well, you're going to reap that. You're going to get that. You're going to get joy, peace, righteousness. So what you need in your life, try to make sure somebody else has it in their life, and you're going to get it. But we don't want to give to get. We want to give for love. And we still get. But it's the reason behind why we give it. And I'm not socialist. I'm not communist. But I am full of the good news. I am full of Jesus. And Jesus commands us to take care of others. Take care of our brother. Take care of our sister. Help them to get to where they take care of themselves. And not go get it from somebody else to give to them. It's give from what you have. See, a lot of people, you know, they're real big on trying to say that, you know, the rich people ought to give to support the poor. Or the government ought to give to support the poor, or the church ought to give to support the poor. Hey, you are the one. Remember when the disciples had been with Jesus, and Jesus had been preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching, and the crowds grew and grew and grew, and then it was getting late, and the disciples said, let's send these people home so they could eat. You know, they're going to be hungry. They're going to start getting fussy. You know, we don't have enough to feed them. And they came to Jesus. They said, Jesus, what do? We need to help these people. We need to send them home or something. And Jesus said, you feed them. You give them what you have. Well, we have nothing. Except for this little boy gave us what he had. Some loaves and some fishes. Okay, cool. If you give me what you have, says Jesus, I'll bless it, I'll multiply it, and when we give it to others, it'll be the gift that keeps on giving. When you give of what you have to the Lord to give to someone else, it's multiplied. It's multiplied in the giving, and it's multiplied in the receiving. When you meet others' needs, God meets your needs. That's a different way of living than how we live today. How we live today, we look at what we have and we try to hold on to it because we don't feel like we have enough. We're afraid that we're not going to have enough. Whereas God says, look, if I take care of the birds, if I take care of the grass in the field, I'm going to take care of you. I made you to fellowship with me. As long as you're with me, I'm going to take care of you. If you take care of others, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you so you can take care of others. So that maybe others might know me, So that's 1 Corinthians for you. 13. We want to love versus selfishness. How many of our relationships would still be solid if we thought more about loving instead of craving what we are getting out of the relationship? So many times people say, I want a 50-50 relationship. Well, don't bring me no 50-50. You bring me 100% because I'm giving 100%. I'm going to give 100% no matter what you give, because that's what 100% is all about. That's what Christian is supposed to do. You give it all. And you give it all, why? Because you're supposed to give it all. Because you're a giver. And when you give it all, it's coming back to you. Now, does that mean everybody you love is going to love you? No. That's not true. But when you love, love comes back to you. God loved you long before you even thought of him. And so you give love because God first loved you. How about that? All right, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now that's some great love right there. Friend sticketh closer than a brother. Brothers made for hard times. I am glad I have two brothers in the flesh and many, many more brothers in the spirit, because this characteristic is loyalty versus unfaithfulness. Everybody's going around talking about they want somebody to be loyal to them. Now, this is about you being loyal. Using difficult times to demonstrate my commitment to God and to those whom he has called me to serve. See, instead of turning it around and, you know, expecting loyalty from others, you be loyal to them, regardless of the circumstance. You be loyal to them, regardless if they're loyal to you. See, again, this is not about 50-50. This is about 100. You don't go halfway. You go all the way. When you give your commitment, when you give your word, when you come into covenant with somebody, you be loyal, because you're not just being loyal to that person. You're being loyal to God, what he has called you to, and to whom he's called you to. If you're married, you don't say, well, yes, I'm loyal to them as long as they're loyal to me. No, that's not what marriage is all about. People who do that, people who do 50-50, they're the ones who leave when things don't feel right, when things don't look right. Well, you go 100 and you stay. You understand what covenant is all about. Covenant is about what I'm giving to you, regardless of what you're doing. You can't earn it and you can't burn it, because it's me connecting to you and holding on to you. Loyalty versus unfaithfulness. Don't you be unfaithful. Don't you quit in the middle of the race. When difficult times come, that's your time to demonstrate your commitment. It's easy to be committed in good times, but when difficult times come, that's when you show commitment. It ain't always going to be easy. If you stand tough, stand fast, stand firm, stay loyal and committed to God and those whom He has called you to serve, you will give glory to God. And people will wonder, why is it that you are like this? Sinners can do it. People who don't have God can do it. They do it all the time. Why is it that you can't do it and you say you're full of the love of God? But you can't be loyal to somebody because they hurt you. You can't be loyal to somebody because they don't treat you right. You can't be loyal to somebody because they don't appreciate you. We're talking about higher living, folks. We're talking about a better and higher way. We're talking about living like Jesus is the center of our lives, like the Holy Spirit is full in us. Everybody can't do this. You see, this takes godliness. And that's what every Christian should be striving for, is to be an example of the living God to a hurting and dying world that needs to know what commitment is. They need to know what loyalty is. And if they can't see it in the people of God, where are they going to see it? Because when times get tough, that's when the Christian should dig in and be all the more a sign of where God is and where He's strong. Okay, turn to Psalm 62 and 5. We only have a couple more. Psalms 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Meekness is that character trait. Meekness versus anger. Yielding my personal rights and expectations to God. Saints, if we could wrap our heads around this one, oh, this would save a lot of relationships. This would save a lot of community from breaking down. This would save a lot of heartache and anguish. You see, meekness is not weakness. You got to be strong to exhibit meekness, because when everything is coming against you and you have the power and you have the authority to lash out and to take them down, meekness says, yield my personal rights. You know what? I got a right to take you out right now. I got a right to put a bullet in your head because you have threatened me. I got a right to just cut you off. But you know what? I'm not going to let this anger build up in me. I'm not going to let this offense build up in me. I am going to exhibit meekness so that you might see God in me. And because God wants to love you. And if I kill you right now, God doesn't have a chance to love you. But if I show some meekness and I seek the Lord and I say, Lord, how do you want me to come against this enemy? God, how do you want me to react to this situation and this circumstance? You see, sometimes, as we studied last week, we have to stand. Sometimes we have to charge. Sometimes we have to advance. sometimes God calls us to be meek and to be humble, to operate in humility. Sometimes it's not about our rights. Sometimes it's about what God is doing in that other person. That's a hard one, saints. I'm not going to tell you wrong. That's a hard one to live out. That's why I say meekness is not weakness. It takes a very strong individual to operate in meekness when everything in you wants to take out the enemy. When all your training has told you, when the enemy comes against you, send him out 7 ways. He must flee. So we have to be full of the Spirit of God, be full of the Word of God, so that we know how God would have us to act and react. Now, we not to be a whipping post, but if Christ himself can take a whipping and be hung on a cross for us, we can take a little bad mouthing. We can take a little disrespect. We can take a little agitation and confrontation for the sake of showing a hurting and dying humanity what Christ is and what he can do through his power. Yielding my personal rights and expectations to God. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. That's a good word right there, and I could preach on it for a while, but I want the Spirit of God to take that word and to do a work with it in your life. It'll change you. It'll set you free. That word right there, we can preach on that one for a long time, but we're not. We're going to move right on. Now, I turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, and we're going to do the last one for the day. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes, saints, this last characteristic that we're going to deal with today is obedience. Obedience versus willfulness. Freedom to be creative under the protection of divinely appointed authority. See, folks, we have the authority that comes from Jesus to act and react in the righteous ways of God. We have authority to call things as they should be, even when they're not, and it becomes those things. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to bring down strongholds, to cut through the iniquities. See, God has given us the authority. And you know what? We have the authority to bring every thought that we might have into the obedience of Christ. See, so many times we have thoughts, we know they're bad thoughts, we know they're negative thoughts, and we just excuse ourselves from Christ. We say, well, Jesus, forgive me, but, you know, well, I know I shouldn't, but, well, you know what? We have the authority to bring those thoughts under to submission to what we know is right in Christ Jesus. We have authority in Jesus. So you want to cast down all imaginations. You know, when you're imagining things that are not godly, when you're imagining getting revenge, when you're imagining doing your own thing, he casts that down. When you see people that exalt themselves higher than Christ, they exalt themselves higher than the law, they exalt themselves, well, I am better than that. I don't have to do what everybody else has to do. I can teach it, but I don't have to live it. When you know better, you need to do better. Yes, no, well, I know that, but. You know, when you get your butt, then you got your butt in the way. You need to get your butt out the way, and you need to live holy. You need to live under obedience to the Word of God. See, when you live in obedience to the Word of God, you teach your children, you teach the people under you to be obedient to the Word of God, which tells them to be obedient to you. But if you are disobedient, if you do your own thing, if you try to tell them, you know, well, don't tell, or, you know, don't tell your daddy, or don't tell this other person in authority, you know, don't tell the boss, you know, can you keep a secret? See, now you're teaching those under you not to respect you. You're teaching those under you not to respect authority. You're teaching those under you not to be obedient. So when you put down all those imaginations, all those things that might exalt themselves over the Word of God, when you put them down, and when you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, then you become a witness, then you become an example, then you become somebody who can say, follow me as I follow Christ. Because see, if you teaching willfulness, if you teaching disobedience, if you teaching so much sloppy grace that people might think they can do anything because they're under grace, then you're not teaching good stuff. And your life is a bigger sermon than you could preach a sermon any day. Because people want to see how you live it, not so much how you give it. Now, we had a good word today because we heard that we need to operate in humility and we need to let go of pride. We heard that we need to take the initiative as opposed to being unresponsive to the needs that we openly see are needed. We need to live in joyfulness as opposed to in self-pity. We need to prefer justice as opposed to fairness. We need to show love as opposed to selfishness. And we need to be loyal as opposed to unfaithfulness. We need meekness as opposed to anger. And we need to be obedient as opposed to willfulness. Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for your word today. We had a good word today. And of course, every word that comes from you is good, is holy, is good for instruction, it's good for correction, it's good to build us. It's good every once in a while to look at the ruler, the yardstick, and to see where we ought to be so we can make adjustments in our lives to get there. Lord, we ask that as your word has gone out and touched hearts and touched ears, that you bypass minds and go directly to the Spirit. And you change us, rearrange us, so that we look more and more like you. For we were created in your image. Help us to reflect that image more clearly and walk in decency and integrity, showing a hurting and dying world what you can do in a life that is fully committed to you. Now, Lord, if someone under the sound of my ears needs to rededicate themselves to following you, to getting in your word and living that word, Lord, I ask that you bring them to now. Call them in. Lord, if there's somebody who doesn't know you, who doesn't have a personal relationship with you, who wants that personal relationship, who wants to put you in as Lord of their life, Lord, I ask that you touch them right now and that you bring them in. Lord, you said that when your word goes out, it will not return void. Lord, we're calling them in from the north, from the south, from the east to the west, all over this world, because I know that we are going to need you in the fullness of your glory in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, so that we can stand in this present time. Say, Lord, we love you and we serve you. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad to have you with us. And I'm so glad that you've taken the time to study with us today. Come back next week. Study again. Share this Bible study on your page. Send your friends to the podcast. And let's go give the world what the world needs. And what the world needs is the love of God. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye now.